sensation out there, where do you begin? When your nipples start to leak, oh, is it time to feed again? When parenting is new and you don't know what to do, the Boo Coach comes up with solutions that are just right for you. Boo, 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 boo. The Boo Coach. It all comes back to boobs.
Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining me today at the Boob Coach Podcast. Today's topic, as part of my Season 1 prenatal topics, is cannabis and breastfeeding. My name is Rachel Gayfeller-Silber. I'm an IBCLC, and you can just call me the Boob Coach. I do have partnerships with various breastfeeding products, and I will post my Linktree account in the information about this podcast. However, for this specific episode, I don't have any disclosures to let you know about for this. I am, however, going to promote myself, my social media, and my upcoming app, the Boob Coach app. Not sure when that's going to come out, but it's going to be a thing in the future. All right. I realize that this presentation today is going to be controversial. This is part 2 of 2, and I'm going to be talking about tetrahydrocannabidiol, which I'm just going to call it by its abbreviation, THC, for the rest of this presentation. Cannabis, also known as marijuana, is an herbal plant, and it has a psychoactive component, and that psychoactive component would be THC. It does have differing legal statuses depending on what country you are talking about, what state within the United States, or even from county to county, region to region. Please note, and this is so important, please note that I do not endorse any illegal usage, illegal distribution, or illegal sales of cannabis in any form. The information that I'm sharing today is intended for legal cannabis usage only and by adults who are of legal age to use these products. I don't believe that any information should be illegal. Information is just that. It's information. I'm creating this presentation in an area of the world where freedom of speech and freedom of press are protected by law. So please take all of this information into consideration and make decisions about any use that you may choose to participate in within the context of the information. Use your own judgment. Okay. My last episode was specifically about CBD and breastfeeding. So it's only logical to go for this particular episode to be on THC, cannabis, and breastfeeding. Now, I'm going to throw myself under the bus. You may have noticed quite a significant gap between the last podcast episode and this podcast. I usually put out a podcast every single Wednesday, but I haven't done that in a few weeks. And here's why. Because, well, I have a personal sense of responsibility to my audience, to families, to babies, and all of that. I also acknowledge that there are such differing legality issues, as well as personal liability issues, and the landscape of the legal status or lack thereof is constantly changing. It is also changing social norms and social beliefs about cannabis, THC, and any of these types of products. So I feel a personal sense of responsibility. However, I've also seen so much misinformation and, frankly, serious logic errors when it comes to this topic. I'm going to address some of these logic errors to begin with. One is that it is true that within our bodies, we have endocannabinoid receptors. Our bodies actually produce cannabinoids, and cannabinoids are found, obviously, within cannabis. So one of these logic errors is that because we have endocannabinoid receptors within our bodies, it's okay to use cannabis and other products that contain endocannabinoids because, after all, it's normal within our bodies to have such things. Okay, here's where the logic error goes. We also have electricity. We have electrical impulses, specifically within our heart, within our sinus and cardiac rhythms. Just because we have electrical impulses in our body doesn't mean that it's a good idea to add extra electricity to your body, like using a crash cart and you know, clear, you know, that sort of thing. We don't put high levels of electricity through people's bodies, even though, yes, we have electricity in our body. And kind of the same thing goes. We have endocannabinoid receptors. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good idea to put endocannabinoids into your body. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Now, one other thing that I hear people talking about specific to pregnancy is that, well, cannabis, it's herbal, it's natural, it helps with anxiety, and it helps with depression issues, that perhaps it helps with appetite. And so if you're having those problems within a pregnancy, that the use of cannabis products is a good idea. And I'm just going to say that any form of self-medicating, whether you are pregnant, whether you are breastfeeding, self-medicating, especially more than just the occasional self-medicating, like if you had a headache and perhaps you took a Tylenol, that sort of thing, it's probably not a good idea. You should talk with your doctor. If you are pregnant, please talk with your OBGYN, your family physician, or your midwife. There are all kinds of other misinformation with regards to cannabis and cannabis usage, and got to take some of the information that's out there with a major grain of salt. I'm not trying to be dismissive, but we're not talking about people who have degrees in biology or degrees in research or medicine. So it's herbal. Well, so is poison ivy, so is hemlock, and so are nightshades. Wouldn't necessarily want to put those in my body. Just because something is herbal does not mean that it's safe. Okay. Other misinformation and serious logic errors on this topic stem from either a mistrust of the medical system, a mistrust of the scientific community, or just in information in general. And I understand it. Things have been kind of complicated, especially since we've all gone through the COVID era. But people who have been studying medicine, biology, chemistry, herbology, all of these things probably have a better understanding than a random person on the internet. Let's get into the whole legality issue. Here within the United States, there's federal law and then there's state law. So within the federal law system, cannabis and THC are still illegal. But within various states, some states, it's legalized. In some states, the medical use has been decriminalized. In some states, CBD is approved, but THC is not. And in other states, it is fully illegal. Even within some states, you could have local jurisdictions like counties or even cities that may have a different legal status than on the state level. And this is perfectly legal. For example, your state might have alcohol as being legal. And in fact, I'm pretty sure that in every state within the United States that the use of alcohol is illegal. However, there are some dry counties where you cannot purchase alcohol. You can drink alcohol, but you cannot purchase it. So there are different steps, sort of, as it were, as to the legality, and you do have to be very careful. Due to all of these legal issues, social issues, as well as stigma, whether that stigma is warranted based in old stereotypes or whatever. There just really aren't statistics as far as how many either pregnant women or how many breastfeeding mothers might be using cannabis or might be using other THC products. So I have seen quite a number of posts and memes online about people saying, oh, I can't wait until I give birth because then I'm going to resume my use of cannabis products. There is a statistic from 2016 from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health that revealed that 4.9% of pregnant women between the ages of 15 and 44 years of age have reported the use of marijuana in the past month. Now, compared to non-pregnant women in the same age group, the use is 11%. So I'm not sure what the uses are right now. Statistics are very hard to come by, but most people who are pregnant are either limiting or stopping their use of marijuana and cannabis products. So it's about a 6% decrease within the same age group. And it's just hard to find studies with regards to marijuana use during pregnancy. And it's hard to find studies also for breastfeeding. And there are so many reasons for this. Marijuana as a plant contains 400 different chemicals. And between strain versus strain, the variations in those chemicals can be very different, as well as the level of THC, the level of CBD, all of these things. So it's very challenging to do a study because different people have different levels of these various compounds. Additionally, some marijuana preparations could be contaminated with other drugs, pesticides, or even fungi, and that can affect the outcome of different study participants. Most of the older studies that are out there tend to focus on people who are smoking marijuana, people who are inhaling it, not necessarily studies where it is being ingested or even used topically. Eating or drinking products that have cannabis in them might lead to higher levels of marijuana in the body. So it's hard to do a study comparing that. Everybody would have to be using exactly the same strain, exactly the same method of ingestion. But even with that, let's say it was a study based on inhalation. Well, some people are better at inhaling than others. Some people hold their breath longer than others. Things along these lines. So it's very challenging to do a study where everything is equal. Not only that, but the THC that is in marijuana these days has become even more potent. It is stronger than it ever has been. And every year, it tends to get stronger. So those studies that may have been done on marijuana usage years ago would have had lower THC levels. And the risks would be different from the risks today. It is just so hard to collect accurate information about either how much or how often marijuana is used. And as with any exposure, people who use marijuana during pregnancy may also be using other substances such as alcohol, tobacco, other drugs. They might have medical conditions, which could be the reason that they're using the marijuana in the first place. Or they might even have lack of prenatal care, which could increase the chance of other pregnancy-related problems. Now that I've sort of said all of these caveats, let's talk about what we do know. We do know that THC passes through the placenta. We do know that THC passes into breast milk. And the amount of time that that THC might remain in the breast milk can really range anywhere from 6 days to as much as 6 weeks. We also know that infants who have been exposed to THC via breast milk could have possible delays in their motor development, things like learning how to walk and learning how to crawl on time. Also, in some people, the use of marijuana could even affect your prolactin levels. Prolactin is a hormone that is responsible for you to be able to make breast milk. So it could impact your ability to make enough milk for your infant. And there's also a concern that frequent marijuana users may have a negative effect on both the quality as well as the quantity of that breast milk that they do produce. Let's go ahead and talk about what I call who says what. All right, so this is from the Centers for Disease Control website, and I'm going to quote it. Quote, using marijuana while breastfeeding can allow harmful chemicals to pass from the mother to the infant through breast milk or through secondhand smoke exposure. To limit the potential risk to the infant, breastfeeding mothers should be advised not to use marijuana or products containing cannabidiol, CBD, in any form while breastfeeding. Now, let's move on to what does the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, that would be the FDA. The FDA advises against the use of CBD, THC, and marijuana cannabis in any form during pregnancy or while breastfeeding. Also, other professional organizations, such as the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists, and the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine, all advise that people who are pregnant should avoid using marijuana. And they also advise that people who are breastfeeding should also avoid marijuana. Okay, so let's talk about what we consider in the breastfeeding world, the lactation consultant's Bible. What does Hales Medications and Mother's Milk say? Now, I am going off of the 2023 edition. I am going to say that in editions past, that cannabis and THC use used to be labeled as what was called an L5 medication. Medications and Mother's Milk does come out every 2 years, and in the last three different editions, there has been somewhat of a liberalization, sort of, as it were. As I said, it used to be L5, and L5 means contraindicated, that no, absolutely not, it should not be used. And now the recommendation has changed. So the 2023 edition says that cannabis is L4, meaning kind of like a rated R movie. Maybe not. Let's talk about it. So for chronic use, L4. However, for infrequent use, it would be rated as L3, and an L3 is the lowest level of the safety range. L1, 2, and 3 are kind of translated as the following. L1, safe. L2, safe. L3, moderately safe. Okay? So the higher the number, the less the safety range. So L4 for chronic use, L3 for infrequent use. And in kind of coming up with why are we ranking this in such ways? Well, the systemic bioavailability, meaning how much actually goes throughout the body and is utilized by your different cells, is based upon the depth of inhalation, the duration of use of the product, as well as breath holding and frequency of use. So anywhere from 10% to as high as 27% of the THC within the product will be circulating through the body. Additionally, THC is highly protein binding, which means that as it is circulating through your bloodstream, it is very likely to be absorbed by muscle as well as other protein tissues within the body. Now, protein tissues as opposed to liquids within the body and as opposed to fats within the body. So it is highly protein binding. However, it's also highly lipophilic, meaning that fat will kind of bind with THC as well. So high protein binding and highly lipophilic. Hales also goes on to state that, quote, because the oral bioavailability of THC is low, from less than 1% to as much as 6%, the dose absorbed by the infant is likely minimal, but cannabis usage in breastfeeding mothers should still be discouraged at this time. So I'm going to say that again. You have THC that is likely going to get in your breast milk. Your breast milk is full of fats that help your baby to grow. Your breast milk also has protein in it. And so it's going to be in your breast milk, but how much of that is actually going to be absorbed through your baby's mouth and stomach? So the oral bioavailability of any of that THC that did get into your milk, anywhere from just under 1% to as much as 6% will be absorbed by your infant. And because of that, we're kind of saying we should discourage you at this time. It's not completely contraindicated. It's not L5 anymore, but not so much, especially for chronic use. And should you participate in THC usage, what should you be monitoring your baby for? You should be monitoring your infant for sedation, meaning being really sleepy, sleeping when it's not time for them to sleep, not waking up to feed, and then when they do feed, they may feed very poorly. Additionally, they may have trouble with weight gain or even have potential neurobehavioral or psychomotor delays. Now, this part I really hesitate to say, but it is incredibly important. It is very important for everyone to note that in many different states within the United States, that if you go into the hospital to give birth, or if you mention to your pediatrician, to your OBGYN, etc., or if you wind up having to go into a hospital or need various types of medical tests, and there is a discovery of cannabis usage, in many states, this is a reportable offense to CPS, to Child Protective Services. And not only that, but in some states, people are actually having their children removed from their custody. The state of Alabama calls the use of THC, quote, chemical endangerment of a child. So just really important things to keep in mind. Now, remember how I said there aren't a lot of studies? Well, the Infant Risk Center, which is based out of Amarillo, Texas, is actually doing studies on cannabis and on endogenous CB1 receptor stimulants, aka the endocannabinoids. Please feel free to reach out to the Infant Risk Center if you would be amenable to donating small amounts of your breast milk for testing and to give information on any cannabis usage that you participate in or other THC products that you may be participating in. The Infant Risk Center is doing studies, and they're going to be presented within the next few months and even the next year. So because we don't have good studies right now, we want studies. We want to know, because we are very aware that the use of THC, the use of cannabis, is more and more popular as that product becomes decriminalized, that sort of thing, here within the United States, but also in other countries as well. What are our recommendations should you choose to utilize these types of products? The first is to try and minimize your usage. How much are you using? Can you use less of it? Can you use a lower dose? That sort of thing. If you are using it as a medication, basically if you are self-prescribing it to yourself, please talk with your doctor about this usage. Maybe there are some other safer alternatives for things like depression, anxiety, pain, etc. there are good medications out there, and there are medications with proven safety records that are approved for use in pregnancy and approved for use within breastfeeding. Okay, so minimize your usage. Please talk to your doctor about safer alternatives, but I would encourage you to utilize THC products that you get from a dispensary versus purchasing it as the equivalent of a street drug. Why do I say that? Well, with dispensaries, we have a traceable product, and this is very different from perhaps a product that is grown illegally, a product which may have illegal pesticides that are used with it, products that are not approved for use on crops, that sort of thing. And also, in the dispensaries, there's the possibility and the option for organic products. An organic THC product is probably going to be safer than conventionally grown as far as the different kinds of chemicals and all of that which are used with such a product. Okay, so that's a whole lot to consider. I say you're an adult. You can make your own decision. Please use all of this information wisely. Consider it with any other information that you may have with regards to the source and the purity, etc., before you use a product, and try to limit it. These are my suggestions, but you're an adult, you can do what you want. Okay, so feel free to contact me if you have concerns, if you have questions, or if you have other topics that you might like to have me explore for additional podcast episodes. You can hit me up on any of my socials. Well, as long as TikTok hasn't been banned here in the United States, I am the Boog Coach Pod on TikTok. I am also on Instagram, Facebook, and somewhat on Threads as well. I am the Boog Coach Podcast on all of these different things. And thank you so much for listening today. Remember, any breast milk that you can provide to your baby is amazing. It's incredible. Breastfeeding, breast milk is truly a superpower. Please feel free to join me for more breastfeeding-related podcasts, episodes, topics, all of that. Once again, my name is Rachel Gayfeller-Silber, IBCLC, also known as the Boob Coach. And it all comes back to boobs. Hey, I love you and I love your babies. Let's talk again soon. Please feel free to check out all the different resources that I use to compile this presentation. Have an amazing day.
The Boob Coach, it all comes back to boobs.